Deuteronomy chapter 8. Now, of course, as it was this morning, they were in the captivity in Babylon in the book of Ezekiel. But as we come back here, we're looking at the time in which they were going from the captivity in Egypt going to the promised land. Deuteronomy, or the second giving of the law, or the review of the law. In chapter 8, he said, "All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live, and multiply, and go in, and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers." So God says, I'm laying it all out to you here now, because I want you to have everything I have prepared for you. And that's the desire of God, is He has prepared some things for us, and He wants us to experience all of that. We know that Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Well, the things that we're talking about here are not in order for us to get to those things prepared, but to get to those things prepared in this life, the things that we have here. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. And so He's got some things prepared here in the coming days, in the coming weeks and months and years, in the rest of our lives. God has a plan. Look, no matter where you are in God's plan, God has a plan for your future from now. God had a plan when we were born, didn't He? Before I planted in the belly, before you were born, God says, "I knew you and I separated you, I ordained you, I had a cause for you, a purpose for you, I sanctified you." Right? That's what He told Jeremiah, the same for us. He had a purpose for us being here. How many of you think you've messed up since then? Right? We've messed up. God said when He planted the seed, He said, "Oh, this is going to be so good." And then we got out and started lying right away. And started sinning, you know, as soon as we knew how, we started doing it. And so we didn't know God, we didn't walk with God, and we didn't serve God. And then one day, finally, the Holy Spirit got a hold of us, and the Word of God got a hold of us. Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And finally, we were reached and got born again. And then we got saved, and God said, "Okay, here we go. Now we're going to do it all just like I planned." And we messed it up again. We got baptized and said, "I'm buried with Him in baptism, risen to walk in newness of life." And God said, "All right, here we go." And we messed it up again. Isn't that true? But here's the good news. God has a plan from here on out. No matter how many times we have blown it up to now, no matter how long it took to reach us, no matter how stubborn or rebellious we have been, God has a plan from right now for what we can still accomplish with the days we have left. Isn't that incredible? And so He says here to them, "I've got all of these plans, but you've got to work the system. You've got to work the program. If you don't follow the process, you will not realize all that I have in store for you." We have to appreciate that. We have to understand that. God offers us His blessings, but it requires our cooperation. We have to be part of the solution. We have to fulfill the calling of God in our lives. Verse number 2, He says, "Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee, to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart." We look at our lives, and there's no doubt we have seen some trials. I'm sure as we look at our trials, there's no doubt they have humbled us. They have made us realize that there are things that are beyond our control. There are things about our own lives and our own bodies and even our own minds that we can't control. And God says those things are there to humble us, to test us, to prove, to reveal. He says to know, look what He says in verse 2, to know what was in thine heart. Guys, when we go through trials, if we backslide because we had a hard time, then that just reveals that we're not very faithful, that we're not devoted, that we're not committed, that we don't really know who God is if we walk away from God in the midst of our trials. But if in our trials, and as we said this morning, if in the good times we walk with God, then we have proven that we are faithful, proven that we are devoted. He makes us appreciate the good times and shows us that we don't always get what we want. That's a lesson that children need. Unfortunately, a lot of parents just give them what they want. And I know that my children don't appreciate that. My children think they ought to always get what they want. And so they'll fuss, all of them, from 1 all the way up to 13. They'll fuss if they don't get their way. But they just have to fuss. Because they have to learn, you don't always get your way. As grown-ups, we don't always get our way. Oh, we think, well, when I get grown, I'm going to do whatever I want. But the reality is we don't. We can't. It just doesn't work that way. It reveals our faith and our attitude and our conflict and our struggle, and it establishes whether we are devoted to God. For them, it was a 40-year trial. Why was it 40 years? Well, they got there in 40 days. They had an opportunity to claim the promised land in 40 days, but they didn't want it that way. In 40 days, they spied the land, and after 40 days of spying the land, they came back and they said, no, it's too big, it's too hard, it's too much. And God said, okay, if you think that's too much, try 40 years, and you'll die in the wilderness, and your children will get to walk in, but you won't. It's never too much if God lays it before us as part of His plan. It's never too hard. I know that you've been through some things, and we go through things in this life and we say, this is too hard. But the truth is, it's not. It's not. It's just part of life. It's part of what God has laid before us. Verse 3, He humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna. Not only did He provide the hard times, but He provided the solution. The Bible says that God is faithful, that He does not tempt us above that which we are able, but with every temptation He provides a way of escape. He provides us a way not to be tempted. He provides us a way not to sin. He provides us a way not to backslide. He provides us a way not to quit if we'll be faithful. There's always a way to stay true to God. In every situation, He established our reliance on God through hunger, and then He provided it through manna. And then He says this at the end of verse 3. He says, neither did thy fathers know that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. We've seen that before, haven't we? We'll see it again. Jesus is tempted in the wilderness, and Satan says, you could turn this stone into bread. And Jesus just quoted Scripture, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. Look, we need to be in the Word of God. We need to be talking to God. We need to be praying. We need to be spending fellowship with God. We live by His Word. Don't you know that? Don't we know? Whenever I heard somebody say this, I guess it was 2 days ago, maybe it was yesterday, but they said, when my number's called. Don't we know that that is true? The Bible talks about an early death, that there are things that happen where we beat our appointment time. But there is also that, if we've lived and we've done all that God has for us to do, and God's at the end of that time frame, He has an appointment for us, and we pass away at that point. And it may be suddenly, or it may be over time, but when it's time, it's time. And we know that. Man does not live by bread alone. What does he live by? The Word of God. And when the words of the Lord say it's time for you to come home, we're going home. We need every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. That's why we need to read the Bible. It feeds us. It builds us. It strengthens us. It builds our spirit. It builds our lives. Verse 5, thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him. There are natural consequences for our sin. Isn't that true? Y'all believe that? So if I go and I try to be careful, don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, right? But if I steal a car, let's say I steal a car, there's a consequence for that, right? What's the consequence? The consequence is blue lights, and the guys in blue or green or brown are going to catch up with me and put handcuffs on me and take me to jail. That's a legal consequence to my sin, right? But you know, there's another consequence, and that's a spiritual consequence. There's a godly consequence. We can expect to pay the price of both for our sin. We can expect that when we sin, there's going to be a spiritual consequence. You say, but I've asked God's forgiveness. You're right, you have. But in the building up to that sin and the fulfillment of that sin, and then thinking that you got away with that sin, in that period of time, you were not being honest with God. And that hurts your relationship with God. And then you have to come back. We come back to God and ask for his forgiveness. And he says that we're chastened, just like a father disciplines his son, so the Lord also disciplines us. There are consequences. God ever told you to go sit in the corner? God ever look at you and say, you need a timeout? I imagine there's many times where he has. We just didn't understand what he was saying. There are consequences from our Heavenly Father directing us back into his plan. Because we are definitely, when we sin, we're out of God's will. Verse 7, the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks and water, of fountains, of depths, and that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and of barley, vines, fig trees, pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it, whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. Look at that. Isn't that incredible? God says, I've got such a life plan for you. Look at your life where you are now. Aren't we blessed? Aren't we blessed? Man, do we? Anybody here want to live in Cuba? No, we want to live in America. I don't even want to live in Kentucky. I want to live right here in Florida. I hope Bill's watching for that. I want to live right here. Thank God he's called us and planted us here. We're blessed. We might not like the bipolar weather, but I love it. It's wonderful. I like to have a cold day every once in a while. I hope we can plan some for July. I'm thankful for what God's given us. And look at our lives. Look at how blessed we are. Look at how fortunate we are. God's been good to us. Here he describes his blessings to them. And we can look around and see what God's done for us. Look at verse 10. When thou hast eaten and art full. How many of you did that today? Amen. You ate and got full. Then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Isn't that a blessing? We take it for granted, don't we? Sure do take it for granted. We were joking about it before church and how we eat every day. Every time we're hungry and sometimes when we're not. Isn't that incredible? Guys, there are neighbors. There are people among us who don't have that luxury. They can't just eat whatever they want whenever they want because they don't have the ability to afford the food. Around us, I mean people that we know. We're blessed. We're so blessed. But he says, God's blessings exceed our efforts. Hey, did you hear that? Paul says, if you do not work, you should not eat. But here, what Moses is telling us is that God will take our efforts and he will increase the benefit. We did not earn everything we have because God multiplied the earnings and the benefits of what we received. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that wonderful? God has given more to us than we have worked for. Now, he expects us to work, but he's going to multiply the return. And that's what he's saying here. in verse number 10. But then he says this, and this is the message, verse 11. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, when thy herds and thy flocks multiply and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. He says, don't forget God. I could name people, I won't do it, who come to God when they lose their job, when things get hard in their lives and they can't afford it, they come to God. They come to the church for help when times are hard. Not just financial help, but spiritual help. There's a crisis in their lives and they run to God and they say, God, help us. And God does. I can remember a time in our lives when my dad did that. Lost his job. Got serious about God. Was at church every service. Was reading his Bible every minute of the day. He wasn't doing something. He was sitting there reading his Bible. And things got good. And things got better. And we recovered financially. And he recovered, you know, emotionally from that time that he had lost. And all of a sudden, guess what? Things got good and God got forgotten. And he wasn't the only one. He wasn't the first. He wasn't the last. But I can remember seeing that as a child and seeing the transition of, oh, now we need to be at church for every service and be there early and stay late. To, well, we really don't need to go tonight. And we really need to go do something else today. And we got backslidden again. Why? He said, lest when thou have eaten and art full, you forget God. God's been good to us. Been good to us as people, as individuals, as families, as homes, as a country, as a church. He's been good to us. Let's not forget why he's been good to us. Let's not forget that we have been faithful to him and we've been devoted to him and we've been. Look, and here's the thing. You say, well, Pastor, are you saying that God only loves us when we're good? No, not at all. What I'm saying is his way works. That's what I'm saying. Is when we'll live in the boundaries of God's word, when we'll live in the light of his love, that our lives will be better. We will experience more benefits. We will have a better life. We'll feel better. We'll see better. We'll do better. And life will be better. So much better when we're not having to fight sin and we're not having to struggle, you know, the flesh against the spirit because we're walking with God. Verse 17. Thou say in thine heart, my power and my might, the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. I remember Nebuchadnezzar, remember that? They had revival. Nebuchadnezzar said, we're all going to serve Daniel's God. Remember that in the book of Daniel? And everybody had to serve Daniel's God because the king said so. And the king said, we're going to serve Daniel's God. And boy, that was great. A year and a half later, he walked out on his porch and on his balcony and he looked out and he said, look at what I have done. And God stripped him of his sanity. The Bible says he spent seven seasons living like a wild animal out in the fields until one day he came to his senses and he looked up to heaven and said, and he worshiped God. And he had his sense again. Imagine when Nebuchadnezzar walked back to the palace, how just nasty he was. Bible talks about his fingernails being like claws and his hair being like eagle's feathers. I mean, he was a mess. Probably smelled a mess too, didn't he? Probably had an old beard and everything. And he come walking up to the door, and you imagine the guards said, hold on a second, who do you think you are? Where do you think you're going? He said, my name's Nebuchadnezzar. They recognized his voice and said, excuse me, sir, come on in. And he got right with God, didn't he? But what happens is sometimes we get to a point where we see all the good that we've done. And guys, if we're living for God, we're going to do good. We're going to do good things. We're going to help people. We're going to make a difference, and God's going to bless us. And so the work of our hands is going to be profitable, and it's going to help other people. And if we're not careful, we'll look at ourselves and say, hey, look at all the good I've done. Just don't forget that God was the one that blessed it. Don't forget that it was God doing that work through us. I've said before, I've said it recently, it's incredible to me as I watch God's people as they come into this church and they get saved and they get baptized, they get right with God and they start serving God. And I mean really living for God, and you can see them get promoted at work. How does that happen? I tell you why. Because when we have Jesus guiding our ship runs right. We do better, and people recognize that our attitude's better, our words are better, the way we work with others is better. And they get promoted, and they get raises, and they say, how did I do this? Well, you did it, but God was doing it through you. Let's not get arrogant and say, look at what I have done. God enhances our efforts. He guides our wisdom, and He guards us from failure. Living by His Word sets us on a path of success and keeps us from evil. Rebelling against Him leads to pitfalls, prolonged struggle, and repetitive conflict. There are people, and you know them, it may be you, or it may be somebody in your family or a friend of yours, and it seems like all the time they're having hard times. You know why? Because they won't get serious about God. I'm being honest with you. I don't know if it's a hidden sin. I don't know if it's an obvious sin. But I'll tell you something. If we'll get serious about God, if we'll live for God, if we'll live by His Word, life will be better. So let us surrender and accept God's plan and embrace His Word and apply it in our lives. Would you stand? Father, we thank You for Jesus who died for our sins and rose the third day. We thank You for the grace and the salvation that You have extended and provided to us. We thank You for Your Bible. We thank You for Your Spirit. We thank You for the access that we have to come before You in prayer. We thank You for our church. God, the truth is, we thank You for our struggles. We thank You for building us up and strengthening us, for teaching us, for humbling us, for testing us to know what was in our hearts. God, tonight we say we love You and we want to serve You. We're devoted. We're committed. We surrender. So take us and use us tonight, this week, and make a difference in the lives of others. Forgive our sins, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.